Admit it.
That sounds like him. So it may be that you have to supply an extreme amount of energy in these vibrations, but certainly you can imagine that no matter what kind of a device someone gives you, there is some set of vibrations that are going to destroy that thing, right? I mean, what's a nuclear blast? It's just vibrations, right? Well, wouldn't the perfect stereo system be able to recreate the exact sound, the exact set of vibrations from a nuclear blast? What device could reproduce that sound and also survive it? So anyone who offers to sell you a perfect stereo that can reproduce any sound exactly is lying. There is no such device. It turns out there's a dividing line, and Gödel found it. He found that a system is either inconsistent or incomplete. That is, if it's powerful enough to express every truth, it can also express falsehood. In other words, if it really can play any sound, it can also play the sound that destroys it. If you make it safe so that it can express only truth, then it can't express every truth. It turns out that one of those little toy record players can't break itself, but it doesn't play the music very well. So every system is either incomplete or inconsistent. And the way he proved this was so beautiful it makes me laugh out loud. He designed a system of equations, a system of mathematics, a system of symbols for expressing equations. It had a symbol that meant zero. And a symbol that meant the successor of. So, S means the successor of. And this means the number 3. This is base 1 notation, in case you ever wondered if it exists. It does. Base 1 notation. And there are about six or seven symbols total in his language for this. And he showed that this language was isomorphic to any other language, that this is sort of
meta language.
Not necessarily the meta language, but you know how people always say, oh, it's equivalent to what is the computer von Neumann? Or not a, what's the, it's always equivalent to the 2 tape heads on a, what is that?
Turing.
A Turing machine. It's always equivalent to a Turing machine, blah, blah, blah. If it's a computer. Okay. It turns out that almost any system is equivalent to this Gödel numbering system. It turns out that in this system, you can number the equations. So you can write statements. Oh, let me explain how the numbering works. This is key. Imagine that the statement is laid out like this, in slots, one symbol per slot, and that each symbol has a value, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and each one of these slots has a sequential prime number. So this is 2, 3, 5, 7, 11, 13, 17, if I got those right, I don't know if I did or not, but something like that. And whatever thing you write here, 0, S, S, the plus, whatever it is, you take the value of the prime in that spot and you raise it to the power of the symbol. And you multiply them all together. That means there's a unique integer that represents every possible statement you can make in his language. And more to the point, if there is an integer, you can decompose it into its primes and show the Gödel equation it represents. But here's the kicker. In such an equation, you can put a number. And if a number can refer to another Gödel equation, you can make equations that talk about other equations. And he wrote an equation, or showed that it can be made. We'll call this statement equation G. That's what he called it. That says a certain statement cannot be proved. And it turns out that the statement it's talking about is itself. And that's breaking the record player. That is showing that the system can say things outside the system. He made a statement that said a concept outside. It said, I cannot be proved. It played the sound that broke the system. It showed that it could express things that not only that weren't true or false, but were paradoxical, even. It's like the...
It exists in the system. Right, exactly.
And every system has a dividing line where it's powerful enough to do the wrong thing. Or it's not powerful enough to do every right thing. And as much as I would love to tell you that Firefox is the most secure thing that you can have, and that that means perfect security, that would be a lie. I like to think that we're doing our job. We're doing the best we can. And I'll bet if I worked for Microsoft, I would tell you I was doing my job and I'm doing the best I can. But the truth is, maybe it is because they have more attackers. Maybe we are doing our job better, but there is no perfect security. There is no system powerful enough to do all the things we want it to do that isn't fundamentally broken in some interior way. If you give enough of the language to do the things that are important to you, there are holes in it. And so, I don't like to jump on the bandwagon of saying we're so much better because our security is so much better. Yeah, our security is better, but don't let that fool you into thinking that there is perfect security. I know that was a long-winded way around it, but...
What is perfect?
What is perfect? Perfect would be, can express every truth and no untruth. And so, in the case of user interface, that would mean a program that is specifically tuned. Remember, a user interface is like a language describing the world of things you want to manipulate. So, for instance, the user interface to a drawing program is the language of shapes and layers and colors and manipulating them.
Isn't the program perfect for a user?
You're using the word perfect when what you mean is satisfied.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah. So, if...
Hello World could be perfect.
Yeah.
But it's incomplete.
Yeah.
Photoshop could be perfect, except for when it crashes.
Yeah. Life is perfect.
Yeah. My wife is perfect. I'm not going to tell you why not. I love her to death. Well, not quite to death. That would be unrewarding. But I love her so much, it's crazy, and I'll take the inconsistencies.
But isn't perfect a human concept? How do we know that it even exists? It's just a concept, like time. We have this linear way of thinking, but that's just specifically human. It doesn't mean that the rest of the universe functions like that. It's just we think linearly. And we think this is perfect, but it's just our concept.
That's exactly right. It's perfect is a concept for us, exactly like infinity, right? And things that asymptotically approach, or parallel lines, things that don't meet until infinity. And we get it that infinity means, we understand the difference between infinity and the limits as engineers, because this is part of the language with which we simulate problems. That perfection, I believe you're exactly right. Perfection is a concept with which we describe systems we're trying to work on, trying to explain to people, that has to do with behavior and the limits that we can't possibly approach. Yes, your observation to me seems exactly right. No? Okay.
We didn't have it, what would we have to strive for?
Yeah.
We had a concept. I mean, if everything was perfect, what would be the sense of living?
That's right. Thank God I'm designed to write programs anyway. But I'm being told we're out of time. So can I just take one more question? Can it be you?
Well, actually, I have two questions. But I was just going to remind me about Heinlein saying that freedom multiplied by security is constant. So that means if you have a perfectly secure program, then you can't really use it for much.
And he meant it about societies, but I believe that's probably reasonably true. For instance, I think cell phone cameras are a great idea. Why? Because I don't trust the police. I think if every person on the planet has a camera and posts to the web, the world is a better place in one way. But in another way, I guess I'll just have to get used to being fat and naked. You know, it's not bad for me, but I apologize in advance for you guys. Sorry. And your second question?
Actually, the police suggested it should be illegal to photograph arrests here, not where it was 2 months ago.
Yeah, I love photographing arrests. That's a big pastime in the U.S. The police do it. As soon as the police turns on their siren in the U.S. Yeah, exactly. So everybody makes money from that. But it's a feature of police cars now that there's a camera in the front that looks forward. And police are required to park behind you and a bunch of other things. But as soon as they turn on their sirens, the camera turns on and starts videotaping. And everybody gets to see that videotape. So there's a lot of freedoms that we're giving up, or are we giving them up? I don't know. And I was one of the founding members of a group called the Cypherpunks. I really believe in privacy. I really believe in freedom. And I really believe that I have a great deal of difficulty deciding whether I should search my kids' rooms or not on occasion. Generally, I leave their rooms alone. But if it seemed like there might be a handgun in one of their rooms, I think they would give up the freedom to have me not search their room. Is this good? I don't know. But you know what? Now that I'm a grown-up, I've learned that this is true about every system. That although you can look at a single thing and say, yes, this was right, you just can't make the rule. My kids taught me this. I would tell my kids, you know, don't do that. And to my kids, they analyze the situation, and what don't do that means is, I see. When I'm wearing a red jacket, and it's Tuesday, and I haven't seen you in 15 minutes, I shouldn't have a cigarette. No, that's not what I meant. What I mean is don't ever have a cigarette, or whatever it is. It turns out that although this was a facetious case, you can't make rules that do the right thing for everything because of this inconsistency that happens in systems at every level. When I was little, I thought, God, our rules are so screwed up. Our laws are terrible. I don't understand why people just don't make laws that work. But why don't you have as a base law? Laws should be like a tree. And the base law should be this thing I read in a book. I actually think it was Heinlein. Heinlein said, or somebody, that in utopia, there are only two rules. You guys heard this? The two rules. One rule is, don't annoy other people too much. And the other rule is, don't be too easily annoyed. Those are the two rules. Now, I knew instantly, of course, that wouldn't work with real people. But those would be a good root rule, right? Start from there, and then go down to some special cases, and then I started hearing about what real court cases are about. And you watch some stuff on TV, and the ones you see sometimes are like, oh, yeah, he's a bastard. Screw that guy. Get the money. Do you have a receipt, ma'am? And if they do, like, it's over. And sometimes it's like, does the father get the kid? Does the wife get it? Who's telling the truth? And now that I have kids, you know, things happen, and then they start to, why is he missing a piece of hair? How come you have a bite mark on your arm? He hit me! He did these horrible things! I'm 40 years old. I do not listen to the stories anymore. Do you know what I say now? I say, I don't want to know what happened. Do not talk now. Both of you did something wrong. I don't know which of you was more wrong this time. But you will both learn not to be this wrong again. It was a great pleasure speaking here for you, and I have been coming to Noog each week that I've been here, and it has really been wonderful. Thanks for sharing your organization with me. When I come back, I intend to come to the meetings again. I'm happy to speak to you anytime. You guys should feel free to email me anytime if you think there's some way I might be of assistance to you or you might be of assistance to me. I have many email addresses depending on what purpose you are writing to me for. So let me tell you what they are. My email address for Mozilla-related stuff is scc, as in Scott Christopher Collins, @mozilla.org. If it's a Choltec thing, it's scc@choltec.com. If it's something personal, it's anything at scottcollins.net. And if it's, you know, spam, then there's this place called DevNull.
På Akerbrygge.
Akerbrygge.